Welcome to this week's edition of the BISD Roundtable. I'm your host, Ed Pothel, and joining us once again this week is Kim Strauss of the BISD. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Ed.
All right, great to have you here. And this week we're going to be talking about the about screen time in kids and how much is too much and how much time do kids spend looking at the screen each day?
You know, it's pretty incredible. This topic came up. I have to give credit to Mrs. Neighbors at Crowsley Elementary School because she asked me about that. And I said, you know, I really don't know what research is telling us about screen time. So I went and did a little research and look at how it applies to the students of Brenham ISD so that we could make recommendations to teachers and to parents regarding screen time. So do you think you look at your phone screen a whole bunch?
Oh, yeah.
What about computer screens?
Well, in this job, a lot, I'm afraid.
We all do. You know, yeah. It's pretty amazing. I was very, aware of what I was doing in terms of screen time after the research. But, you know, it's not an easy answer. But the first thing we looked at was the Common Sense Media National Study that was just done in 2015. And what they looked at was screen time for kids, not including homework in school. So we're talking about just outside of school. It could be in the early morning.
Playtime or whatever, right.
Afternoon, nighttime. And tweens, which they categorize 8 to 12-year-olds, had 4 hours and 36 minutes actually looking at screens, which is a long time. But teens, 13 to 18 years old, had 6 hours and 49 minutes looking at a screen every day outside of school. Yeah, it's incredible.
Unbelievable. And that's time back when we were young that was spent usually outside playing ball and running around and having fun and exercising a little bit.
Exactly.
Now, what are the kids doing when they're looking at their screens? What are some of the things that they're a part of?
You know, they do a lot of the same things that adults do, and especially multitasking because they're listening to music, which used to, you know, back in the day for you and I was probably just a radio without a screen. But now there is a screen involved because they're choosing music either through an online source. Or even if they have a small handheld device, it usually has a screen on it. They're watching TV, they're texting their friends, they're using social media, and they're playing games.
Now, how about the younger kids?
You know, younger kids, the research showed us that they were almost always watching TV or playing games, and they were watching them on tablets. What was interesting about teens versus tweens versus the teens as they changed in age through that 8 to 18 years old was that as they grew older, they actually had less gaming time. So those little kids were actually playing a lot of games on tablets, and that older kids were moving towards social networking or texting with friends. Younger kids watch a whole lot more TV. Older kids listen to a lot more music. Younger kids, like I said, play on tablets. Older kids play on phones. So the actual screen size got smaller as the child got older.
Now, what does research say about all of this?
Research was taking a look at, or this particular study especially, was taking a look in other research studies, taking a look at the brain function level that is occurring while they're using their screens and the benefits versus the dangers. Benefits such as language development, the dangers of maybe eye strain from looking at screens, especially when the screens got smaller and smaller as the kids got older. But there were 4 levels of brain function through the different screen activities. The most basic or lowest level is passive consumption. When we sit and watch TV without interaction or sit and listen to music but using a screen to do that is just consumption. The second level is interactive consumption. That is reading or playing games because reading involves eye tracking. So it does become interactive in a very minute way. And then, of course, playing games becomes more active. From there, we move to brain function level of communication. And this is where we have social media video chat that requires speaking, listening, and watching for visual clues if it's a visual type of screen and not just a listening type of screen. Also, when they're texting, they have to, believe it or not, use emojis and other things that are trying to convey feeling or emotion, which requires a little bit more brain level. But the highest level of brain function was creation, and this would be making digital art, composing music, writing on a screen, or programming on a screen. And what we find is that passive and interactive, the two lowest levels, like watching TV or playing video games, are the most common levels. But where we want our kids working at or learning at is, or using their screen time for, is for their highest brain function, which is creation. So in the classroom, we're always looking to be using our devices for a creation level, not just a consumption level, which, of course, requires a lot more thought. There was also a 2014 Journal of American Medical Association report taking a look at language development, and what they compared were technology toys or traditional toy in a book. And they wanted to know or look at language development in terms of brain function based on a parent interacting with a child using these three different devices. So, in your opinion, do you think you got the, did they get the most interaction with the parent, technology toy, book, or traditional toy? What would you guess?
For the most,
most interaction, parent and child.
That's a tough one, because I'm thinking I'm going to give the wrong answer.
I know, right?
Here.
Because you're thinking, I should say traditional toy, because that would be better.
Right,
maybe it's the tech toy.
They're playing with the toy together, mm-hmm. and they're doing, and they're having an activity together. Whereas most of the time, when there's a computer screen involved, the idea is that the parent leaves the child alone and the child is there in front of the screen by themselves.
Yep, you got it. And that's what it came down to. It was, it actually came down to the most interaction happened through reading, but it didn't matter if the reading was on a screen or in a traditional book. It was the interaction of the reading itself. So, the tech toy and their traditional toy, if they just left the child with the toy without interacting, then, of course, language development did not occur. What they measured was how often did the parent speak to the child, how often did the child respond back, what was the level of language of the parent, like how difficult of words did they use to try to develop the language within their child. And so when the device became a be quiet device, it didn't matter what the device was. It still was a be quiet device, and there was no language development. But through reading, there was a larger number of cognitive associations, meaning interactions between the parent and child. But it didn't matter on screen versus paper. Research can be looked at a lot of different ways. We're answering the question, how much screen time is too much? But if you're having interactions with your child and you like to read on a tablet and that's how you're reading to your child, that's better than just handing them any type of toy and making him sit alone and play. So from this, we try to make some recommendations for parents and teachers. So can we talk about that?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So it would be hard to say to a parent who is exhausted at the end of the day trying to get dinner on the table or whatever it is, to say limit all screen time for your children. And it's hard for us to tell teachers in the classroom the same thing. We can't say limit all screen tasks to nothing or to just 30 minutes a day or something. Instead, it's about what's happening during that screen time. And so all of our recommendations come from the interactive piece, not necessarily just a set time. For the teachers and parents, we suggest that they role model mindful use of screens. So as a parent, we're putting down our phones away from the table when we're eating because we want to have mindful eating and we want to have mindful conversations at the table. Modeling that for our children and our students is the same thing. So in the classroom, we want and recommend for teachers to use the screen mindfully in the classroom as well, not just having something up, on their classroom screen to make sure that it's an interactive activity. No TV while other things are going on, that multitasking piece. We come in, we turn on the TV, and then we eat dinner while the TV's on, or we're having conversations while the TV's on. But that also produces screen time stress if the child's trying to go back and forth. Limit the background noise. And once again, just to always have a planned use or planned use surrounding the use of the screen, our collaborative activity. If you're watching a TV show at home, or if the teacher is showing a video in the classroom, make sure that there is a collaborative piece to it. So we're watching it, discussing it. We ask some pre-questions about looking at the character development, looking at the setting, making inferences about what may have happened in the past, or predicting what might happen in the future. Those types of activities, as minor as they can be, just watching TV together and asking questions and talking, makes the screen itself not as significant as the language development or brain level activity of the child. We're asking, and our thoughts are, not to use the technology, like I said, as a stay quiet tool. So if we want our kids to stay quiet, whether we need a few minutes in the classroom to get something done, or we need a few minutes at home to get something done, that that they try to use an activity that is not related to a screen. So can they play a game? Can they, you know, a board game or a collaborative game with another student in the classroom? Can they play outside for a few minutes? We still love recess in Brenham ISD and encourage it heavily. Everyone needs a chance to run around a little bit. And Natalie Lang, our board president, has a great picture of her kids in a mud puddle. And I love that because it's showing that the kids can be quiet and play, and you can have a second while they're doing things other than looking at a screen. And then that way, when we use the technology, we're using it for that highest brain level, which is creativity and creation. And so when we come back to the screen, the thinking that comes out of it is rich and deep, and we're developing kids' ability to think better in life. So that comes from good planning on parents' and on teachers' parts. The American Academy of Pediatrics is going to come out with some more findings this fall, and we'll hopefully go back and review this again and see what they tell us.
All right, and one thing that I think probably is also a danger is that, you know, when we talked about using it and just saying, just go play with your computer. When parents do that, if they're doing something and the kid's on the computer, those children still need to be supervised because there is so much scary content on the internet that it is mind-boggling. And there's so much out there that even by accident, these kids could happen upon.
Absolutely. You know, I believe most kids want to do the right thing and would alert their parents as to what they see, and want to do the right thing in the classroom and would alert a teacher as to what they see. And we certainly in Brenham ISD take, you know, every effort available to protect kids. That is a number one priority, whether we're protecting them in the hallway or we're protecting them on their technology devices. But if we're not doing the best defense, which is being involved, you're right, it can happen too easily. So that's why that interactive piece is so much important, you know, more important than just saying don't use a screen. No, it's be there with them while they're using it. Management.
All right, because for all the problems that it can create, it also is an amazing, amazing education tool. And I think we've only kind of hit the tip of the iceberg as far as the technology and the benefits of it are concerned.
Absolutely. You know, we started this program talking about how often we look at the screens just doing our jobs. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the benefits of being able to think well and using technology to advance knowledge, you know, the technology can do things that our brains can't do, but it can help our brains to understand the world better, to understand human body, looking for, you know, science advances, going to space and exploration or under the sea or understanding human and animal behavior. I mean, it's just, technology is going to be a part of these kids' future, but we want them to use it responsibly, and that's where this job comes in, because we can't live without our handheld technology. I can't go anywhere without my phone. I stay so connected with people too, using my phone. So you're right. It's a double-edged sword there, but we can't live without it, and we want to. And it's an amazing thing for our for people, but we want it to be used responsibly.
All right. And now shifting gears just a bit, changing topics real quick. I know you want to remind folks that registration still taking place.
That is right. We have our big registration event. Our first one of the year for 2016-2017 school year occurs this Saturday, May 21st from 9 until 2 a.m. at Alton Elementary School. So that is for our pre-kindergarten and kindergarten registration. We just want to remind folks, if they bring their documents with them that day, they'll be able to register. And if they don't, we're going to have to ask them to return home and get them. So make sure that you have your proof of district residency, which can be a current gas, water, or electric bill, a mortgage or lease agreement. The child's birth certificate, a certified copy of that is required, as well as we prefer to have their Social Security card if they have one. We need a photo identification of the parent or guardian and current immunization records if you have them available. We will have nurses on hand who can find that digitally for you if it's available. And even more exciting, we'll have the immunization van there that can actually immunize the kids while they come to registration. If you're going to be enrolling in pre-K, remember that we have special qualifications for that. So if you have proof of military, proof of Department and Family and Protective Services, or a current income, that is required for our pre-K registration. So parents can come prepared with that if they're registering for our special pre-K programs there. We do also ask that the pre-K and kindergarten student come with the parents so that we can do some diagnostic testing for some of those kids, and they can also just get familiar with Alton Elementary School, because that might be where some of them go to school next year.
All right, and once again, the registration is
Saturday, May 21st from 9 until 2.
All right. Kim, thank you very much for being here. And I know we could probably talk technology probably for hours and hours.
thank you for having me.
But enjoyed it.
Thank you.
All right. And we want to thank Kim Strauss for being here on the BISD Roundtable this week. And we'll be back again next week here on KWHI.